Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network, and this is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger, right here in the bunker, right here in north central Indiana, where it's awfully cold this morning. It's under 10 degrees. I think it's about 5 degrees out there when I took the trash out, man. Had to do my honey-do stuff. Look, we're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana. That's where you send your snail mail, your donations, and so forth. And then go right on up there to resist.com and get educated. Well, I'm telling you, all the work that our webmaster does on that site, if you're not using it, we're going to be very upset. Because it's not cheap either. We got to pay quite a bit of money for that every month. And got some new things coming on there so you can see our stuff on your cell phones and all that kind of stuff. I don't know exactly how it's going to work. But it's a newfangled program, and they're working on it, and should be on there in the next few weeks, okay? And this morning, guess what? The ever-popular and haven't talked to him for quite a while due to me being gone and me screwing up and schedules and so forth. That hard-working guy, Stray Dog from New Germany. Good morning.
Hello, hello from the Ostfront. Yeah, New Germany. Yeah. We have the dictator, Big Tony. Well, yeah, resist.com is an immunization to Jew think, and it not only is it immunize you against Jew think, but it's also an antidote. If you're afflicted with Jew think, which is a parasite which attacks inside of the brain, constant use and reading on resist.com can reverse that parasite. And we thank the webmaster for putting up those good health tips on those of us who have intestinal parasites, intestinal problems. Those audio files were very useful. We listened to them. Thank you for putting those up. News in New Germany today, New Jersey. Big Tony, the governor, he's giving a speech at 2 p.m. The state of the economy in New Germany, which, through a lot of the studies, is ranked dead last. We are the 50th state when it comes to solvency of the state government and finances because we have the greatest future liability to old age pensioners.
Wow.
So, who's kidding who here? Now, this is why Big Tony will be on the ticket for presidency, because this is the overall question throughout the nation. Should current taxpayers fund the state's liability to workers that worked 40, 50 years ago that are not productive, that are old age people? We're going to see who has more of a voting block. If I could look into my crystal ball, this guy is getting ready to rip down all those benefits that the public sector employees were privy to that the private sector was not. And this will be a national question. It's no doubt. From here in New Jersey, I can see it clearly. It's big business trying to blame their corruption, like government corruption, state corruption. Oh, we don't have any money to pay the pensioners, so we have to take away their benefits now.
Yeah.
You know as well as I do, they've been robbing the pension system since it was created. It was a scam. That money never went into a lockbox, quote unquote, like our friend Al Gore says all the time. It's different echelons. I wouldn't call it government. I'm like UTT. I wouldn't call it government. It's different echelons of corruption. And they blanket each other to protect their own interests where you got no wiggle room whatsoever.
It never changes, my friend.
It never changes.
It's been that way since the beginning of any kind of centralized government.
But see, here's how it works.
You're against the criminal gang, always. It's a criminal gang.
Right. We never figured out how it worked, but you're exactly right when you give advice about how to pick a jury, like about the different people. You don't want anyone that is on the state dole that either works for the state, employed by the state, retired, because those people will feel allegiance to that system, which they know is exploitive, and it's anything but democratic or equal. You're right. You can't associate or have those people on your jury because they don't care if you're white. They'll hang your ass, you know?
Well, that's true because people worship power. People don't seem to understand that. They wonder why people would vote against their own interests. Well, they vote against their own interests because they worship power. and they're in fear all the time too. And that's the way that works.
Yeah, it's so they want someone to look up to, because then that shirks their own responsibility of being a leader in their own right. You know, they want to defer. Oh, I could look up to this guy, Fat Tony, Big Tony. He's a leader of our state. He's great, you know, and then they don't have to be a leader in their own areas.
Well, speaking of Fat Tony, I've got a surprise for you this morning. I've got a song here that I want to play for you dedicated to Fat Tony. How would you like that?
That'd be great. I haven't heard it.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Tale of Two Frat Brothers. A memoir. Remember that kid we beat up back in college? Me, you, and Thompson out in front of the frat. And that hippie ran home crying to his parents. I can't believe you got us out of that.
You hearing that okay?
God, we were
yes.
Drunk. Drove around all night after with that keg in the trunk. And when the cop pulled us over, you talked us out of that too. You got away with it. You got away. You get away with the things that you say. I had to quit partying about a year and a half after you did. I don't regret it, though. I think it was fun. Besides, it was the 70s. We were a couple of rich kids. And aside from that one hippie, we never really hurt anyone. Well, there's that other thing that I won't even say. As God is my witness. You had to do. You got away with it. You got away. You get away with the things that you say. I worry forever, never for you. You'll get away.
Get all that?
Yeah.
Now, I begin to wonder whether that was for the Bushes or for Fat Tony, but it was supposed to be for Fat Tony.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear any names in there. I was thinking maybe George Zimmerman.
No, not George Zimmerman. He's not getting away with anything. His life is in shambles. Now they got him for painting a picture, and he passed it off as being his own creation. It was just a copy off some gal on TV.
Well, hey, you give these muds a little bit of money, and they can't handle it. They go nuts. It's like giving an Indian a bottle of whiskey. Or wagon burner, rather.
That's right.
But hey, just to be on, I'd like to speak on behalf of Mr. Dunn from Florida, the one who had an incident with five honor students he's seen outside a convenience store.
Yeah.
To speak on Mr. Dunn's behalf, on his defense, those honor students were displaying a handgun. Now, it may have been a pellet gun. Now, a lot of them can get a hold of pellet guns through like Kmart or Sporting Center like that, and they use it if it was a real firearm. But for whatever reason, this white guy, he looks like, looking at his picture now, he looks pretty big, like he can handle himself. So I'm thinking he's seen a barrel of a gun pointing at him.
Yeah,
that's the only reason why you would unload your clip like that. You know what I mean? He thought he was going to be shot, and we talked about this before, that everyone has to make their own determination. I guess Mr. Dunn's neighborhood got that bad where he felt he needed that. Now, certainly, I don't feel that way. I know you don't feel that way yet, but everyone has the freedom to make their own decision on that.
Yeah, but not the freedom to have stupid decisions. Now, number one, there's no witness has come forward and said that there was a gun. And also, for about 24 hours, he didn't say there was a gun. All of a sudden, he said there was a gun. No, I'm afraid what you've got here is a middle-class, upper-middle-class guy who thought he was King Kong, probably had a few drinks. The blacks were obnoxious, and obviously everybody liked to shoot him. But to let loose with a whole clip of ammo, and unless he absolutely, and it could be proven there was a gun, that was stupid. I don't really want to back people like that. I don't care, even if they're white. Not because they shot a black, because he might have shot some white kids, too.
Yeah, I guess the idea is just to try to get inside the mindset of the time of the guy. And you're right, maybe if he was liquor-soaked or pill-soaked or had a couple of liquor bottles in him, he might have done that.
Well, they said he was at a wedding, either a wedding or a wedding party or something, so you know that almost any, 99% of the time a guy going to have a few drinks, you know.
I just compare that to a lot of the police officers who get involved in shootings, and we're seeing, I think I reported on it a couple years ago, three police officers here shot an unarmed honor student. They emptied like 32 rounds, and they shot this guy 11 times, killed him.
Well, most of the time.
And he didn't have any firearm on him, and none of them even got desk duty.
Well, you see, most of this is not because of strength and I'm a tough guy, it's because of fear. With the cops, most of the time that they're making these bad shots on people is because they're afraid to death. They're scared to death. The cop will never admit to that to you. He'll go to the gym 24 hours a day and buff out and all that kind of stuff. But one of the clues is he's got tinted windows on his patrol car where you can't see him. But same way with Trayvon and this Zimmerman. Zimmerman could have got him with pepper spray. And it may have been very simple, and even taking a broken nose or a little bit of that would be better than all the crap he's going through. So I really have to be careful of getting drug across the line into this supporting people who are stupid.
Yeah.
Whether they're one of, if they're racial separatists or what, you got to use some sense. People like that would be no good to us anyhow.
Yeah, they're bringing themselves more trouble than what they need.
And when when all the right wing, this is typical right wing reaction, they immediately come to the defense of somebody just because they're white. I don't believe in that.
You don't?
Well, I don't consider these people to be my kind of white. I mean, this is not a guy who would invite me to have a drink, I don't think, or come over to his wedding party. And if he knew, I'm a white racial separatist. And in fact, that Dunn, if he was on a jury against you, he'd probably find you guilty because he'd say, well, he's low class, or whatever. So I tend to, and this doesn't make me getting soft on the issue. It makes me harder because I'm not going to go along with defending stupidity among whites.
That's a good point to bring out, T.T., because I'm glad you clarified that, because you know what? You just won me over to your side. That guy Dunn, he's not a farmer. He's not a TV repairman. He's not a mechanic.
No.
He's a he's a man probably of privilege and thought that he was higher than everybody. And like you say, they could have been white people making noise that he would have, might have been hillbillies or something, white hillbillies.
And of course, he was showing off probably a little bit to his fiancée or his new wife, too.
Yeah, what's with that, the recordings? It seems like that was weird how those recordings came out.
Or sometimes the women egg him on, too. She could have been egging him on, too. That happens. I remember up there in that Leith situation, that young lady that was one of the people there with Craig Cobb, I heard her on the video that they put out, and she was sort of egging them on. You know, a lot of times women will do that.
Well, look in the natural world. The male wolf will protect the female wolf, I guess, right? And vice versa. So,
right.
Yeah, you could have influence on that. What a thing to think that white people would have police protection when the muds, when the wagon burners come after you. You're going to learn the hard way that the police could care less. You got to take care of yourself.
But like,
that's what pisses me off. Those guys should have known that. You know, Craig Cobb should have known that. I should say, hey, if these wagon burners are coming after you, throwing bricks on them, don't call the sheriff. They're not going to protect you. You got to do it yourself. They're only going to charge you with something.
Well, and also, Craig made the mistake. He was talking to the sheriff almost every day. Well, you don't talk to the cops. I mean, you might say, hello, how are you, the weather's fine, blah, 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 the weather's terrible. But beyond that, you don't talk to cops, because the cops, they'll smile at you, and they'll smile at you, but they'll testify against you in a heartbeat if it helps their career. I mean, you just can't trust cops.
Yeah, even if it's Sheriff Joe.
Even if it's Sheriff Joe. I mean, around here, these cops treat, these sheriff's guys have treated me okay, and we've been on, something happens and it's out in the street or something, and we talk like that, but we never talk business.
Oh, God, see, you have better crop of sheriff's officers out there. Here, our sheriff's officers are rejects from the local police force. The sheriff's office pays half of what a local police officer will, so these guys are pissed off to begin with, and usually they get all shitty duty like traffic and having to serve warrants and everything that the regular police don't like to do. So anytime you come in contact with them, they sneer at the general public. If they know you're in the lower class,
yeah,
they'll look at you like they're ready to draw their gun on you and everything. Oh, they're known for that around here.
Yeah, well, around here, I think they've got the attitude. They probably even talked to the sheriffs out in California. Where I lived for so long that I didn't have problems with the cops around there. We weren't buddies and didn't eat donuts together or anything like that. But I didn't have any problem with them because I didn't do anything. And of course, normally you shouldn't do anything that's going to be traceable anyhow. But so these cops here, I think they've got an attitude. Well, he's a good old boy. He was raised here. He was born here. He's not causing anybody any trouble. He just talks and does a radio show and recruits terrorists. But other than that, he's okay.
Wow. The racist is a key word. Everybody's afraid of being a racist. I'm a proud racist. I know you are, too. We're not afraid to say nigger. We're not afraid to say Jew. Doesn't mean our IQ is low. We say when it needs to be said.
Sure.
Not afraid of it.
Well,
but see, these sheriff's officers, these cops, they've become a, like you say, the shock troop for this rotten system. Where, you know, as far as the immigration question, the ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, they're not even rounding up these illegals. And they're not all from Mexico either, they're not all brown. You got some people from Eastern Europe that are pretty bad roaming the streets too. They don't even care. So what is the rule of law if they don't enforce your borders? You have no rule of law.
These cops around here, especially the sheriff, they're getting a dose of it now because there's more and more Mexican crime coming into town and like that. And they just arrested a couple of damn Sikhs for drug trafficking in a little damn one-horse town just north of me. I mean, Sikhs. So these cops are getting a noseful. And you tell me that don't turn them into a racist after a while? Believe me, they're either racist or they're subconsciously racist.
Yeah, you tell me, just talk to any police officer that works in Lakewood, New Jersey, and all you're going to do is say, like, oh, what's it like to work around here? he'll talk your ear off for like a half hour. They got so much wound up in them from having to deal with those devils, those monsters.
Yeah.
But that teaches you something. What did the Jews do that make them so effective, the Hasidic Jew? Well, they take over an area, they bring in their brothers and sisters, and they grow it. And it's just, I think about my travels through that town, and it's so creepy to see that. But we're told that America is the great melting pot, yet we're more segregated now than we were at the time of Jim Crow.
No, it's a great garbage can, not the great melting pot. I mean, you know, here's a little clip I want you to listen to, see if you can hear it. You know, people are always bitching about the Jews, and of course there's good reasons to bitch about the Jews, but listen to this. Do you blame a cockroach for coming into a dirty kitchen? You got that?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's what I tell people, you know, like the vampire, you've got to invite him in, and if you expect a cockroach not to come into a dirty kitchen, you're crazy. You'll never keep them out. If you keep your kitchen real nice and clean, the cockroach is not going to come in. So here again, we've got our problem with our white race, and we're in the middle of a white civil war now, and we're outnumbered like mad by white people who hate our guts and believe in equality and all that nonsense.
Well, yeah, that's given. Let's study nature again. You send cockroaches. Now, living in the city, doing a lot of jobs painting and doing walls and stuff, I know a little about cockroaches and their nests and where they go to. One time I was painting an apartment building downtown, upper floors, and there was a patch on the ceiling, and on the side wall next to the ceiling. I went over with my roller, and out came thousands of roaches, just like a volcano.
Yeah.
I had gone to call the former owner job, told him, we came back to look, and they were all gone.
Yeah.
10,000 of them. So unless you get the nest, and this is what we go back on to identify the head of the cockroach or the head of the octopus, and we're doing that here. We've identified them as the church, as the religious leaders. We're making an effort to minimize the enrollment in congregation through scandal, the Catholic priest scandal, where half of them are pedophiles and stuff. So that's a good point, a point of bright light that we could look at to say progress. Yeah, we're knocking the church on its ass here. We've cut parishioners in half from what they were just 30 years ago.
You know, out there in New York, someplace, I forget what part, they got a lot of Orthodox Jews, just like you do in New Jersey. And I said something about on the show the other day, they've got now the Kike Patrol now in the neighborhoods up there where they go around, and if, say, a guy's got a dress shop, an apparel shop, and if they've got these fake bodies there, women, and they're putting dresses on and off, or a woman's inside the window holding up a dress to herself in full clothing, they're going in and telling the owner he can't, got to stop that. And he says, how can I stop that? And he said, well, you got to have a smaller window. So they're going around to all kinds of shops, these kike cops, and telling them how to run their businesses.
Sure, they nip it in the bud. They don't want that sexual tension on the surface. And that goes back to the ability of a species or tribe to have self-determination.
Well, wait a minute.
And we're all for that.
Wait a minute. There's no more sexual craziness and weirdness and repression than there is in the Jewish Orthodox community. If you've ever read that book, A Hole in the Sheet, you'd know that. So they talk about go around policing other people, even their own people, when actually there's a high rate of pedophilia and all that kind of stuff in the Jewish community. They want you to do as they say, not as they do.
Yeah, but we're talking about the symptom. The cause is Jewish self-determination. And that is a tribe that is hell-bent on keeping their traditions of the Talmud and enforcing that on us. And that's one thing we heard on the show years ago by an associate, that we are living under Talmudic law. And
well,
it's exactly true.
Well, I wouldn't go too far on that, because I don't think the majority of Jews have much knowledge of the Talmud at all, much less reading it. It's 23 volumes of the Babylonian Talmud.
Well, that's what they study. When they go to rabbinical school, that's what they study. Whether or not they make it through the whole course, they get the gist of it. Well, that there is a law for every action man takes.
Well, that's the more orthodox types. But you get into the secular Jews and atheist Jews, and their program is, you know, a lot different. You don't hear them hearkening about the Old Testament and stuff like that. The secular Jews, who are probably the most dangerous, they will use Judaism simply politically. You know, like they'll go along with this Israel, you know, is the country that the Jews have been there forever. They'll go along with some of that stuff. But even if you read the Jewish press, there's people that get in there and write in and send letters in. They're totally 180 degrees out of phase with this. So, you know, it's sort of like the white race. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of white people with all kinds of opinions, and they fight among themselves, and the Jews fight among themselves. They're not monolithic, that's for sure. In fact, I've said over and over, if you build a wall around Israel to where nobody would attack them, within 10 to 20 years, they'd kill each other off.
They're going crazy, like you said about Tel Aviv. You think New York City is wild. Go to Tel Aviv and go there. There's more lawlessness and drunkenness and every other thing, indulgence you can imagine, to where that's just counter opposite to what most of the Arabs believe. So,
well, they're, you know, if they're true Jews, then they're Semites. And, of course, I don't think there's many true Jews in Israel. I think they're mixed race. When they came out of Egypt, they called them the mixed multitude, because they were already race mixed way beyond their early tribal Hebrew origins. And so they keep talking about God telling them not to mix, but they mixed all the time.
Right. Well, that'll happen when you live next to, you know, so many other tribes. But you were right with your prediction a couple of years, 2-3 years ago, about Israel is losing its geopolitical influence. You know, just for the, look how the tensions in Iran escalated down, and they made a deal on nuclear energy. Now you don't hear nothing about it anymore. So see, Israel didn't get its way. And that is something that's unheard of. Usually Israel, whatever they moan for in the UN, they get,
No, not in the UN. I mean, you know, the UN is traditionally, in at least 20, 30, 40 years ago, we're calling them a racist state and voted against them all the time.
Okay.
There's more vote for them with them now, but not too many. Not too many. But you see, Israel is like, there's a movie I like called, it's an old movie called My Bodyguard, where this little kid's getting beat up and going to school every morning, and the toughs are taking his lunch money. And finally, he hires a big, tall, Aryan tough guy to be his bodyguard. That's what you've got with Israel. Israel got away with because Big Brother, the United States, was backing them up all the time. I mean, you know, we were the second out of the chute to recognize Israel. Well, Harry Solomon Truman. So that's why Israel it's a spoiled brat of the world. And now that the American Empire, is weakening, the rest of the world's starting to say, now we'll get even with those Jews. You see, that's what's happening. If the United States was as tough as it was 50 years ago, Israel would have no big problem. But
I see.
But, I mean, we just keep paying their bills and sending them weapons and everything else, and anytime they get in trouble, we send our guys over to get killed and save their asses. And even this whole Iranian thing is out of Israel. It's obviously got some other things behind it, like oil and stuff like that, but Israel's the one that wants to, come on, Big Brother, let's go get him. Come on, are you chicken shit, Uncle Sam? Come on, come with us, come on. You lead, we'll follow. You
know? So there's a direct connection between the wane of the American influence around the world and power and Israeli power.
Absolutely.
That's a clear connection. That's an excellent point. I see it now.
Yeah, because we have we've been watching this now for quite a while. That as long as even in the UN, most of the countries are voting against Israel. The United States and mostly the United States was the real powerhouse, always backing them, no matter what. And the rest of the world was voting against them. So, you know, we used to say, oh, the UN's wonderful, support the UN. Back when I was a bircher, way back, we were saying, get out of the UN. And, of course, it totally reversed now. And now that they're voting against Israel, everybody says, then it's the other side saying, let's get out of the UN.
Yeah, it used to be a League of Nations. I think that's right around when we changed our name of the War Department to the Defense Department.
Yeah, well, those, you know, that's a clever move on the part of the ruling class. Always call what you're doing freedom and liberty and homeland security, and every bill that comes up, it's a empowerment of the poor bill, and you know, always put a fancy name on something that doesn't mean anything.
Wow. Well, let's talk about environment. Germany is set to close all its nuclear reactors by the year 2020.
Oh, I thought they already had them all closed.
No, they closed a few of them, but they're still, they have to phase them out slowly. No new ones are being made like in the States. They've authorized two new reactors to be built. But now farmers in Switzerland and in Germany are complaining about companies doing open strip mining for brown coal. And it seems coal will replace nuclear. But I'm willing to make that trade. I think we all have to come to that. You have to ask yourself that question. Are you willing to dirty the air a little bit more to get rid of these nuclear mistakes that are there? I am. You have to ask yourself that question, whether to support it or not.
I know what you mean, but it's like going from the frying pan into the fire. I mean, you know, the coal burning and the oil burning is what got us to the point we are ecologically. And now they're saying, well, let's build more nukes, and this stuff, the waste nuclear material is going to be here for hundreds of thousands of years, and they keep trying to find new holes to dump it in. Now they've been filling up the Carlsbad Caverns, one of the treasures of this country, a beautiful place where people could go to go in these caverns, and now they're filling it up with nuclear waste. I mean, we're not talking about like coal. Coal does settle to the ground and, you know, get washed away and into the ocean and everything like that, but this nuclear waste lasts forever.
Yeah, see, that's the problem with out west. There's so much open space out west that the government was able to put these facilities. And is that one in Carlsbad? Is that the one that's in Nevada? Because there's one in the news that they say it's a mile deep.
No, that's mountain, Salt Mountain or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, they're storing weapons-grade plutonium there that's depleted.
Well, they're not doing as much of that there now as they did. Now, this is down in New Mexico, I believe, Carlsbad Caverns. But anyhow, but we've got it all over the country. Anyhow, right here in Indiana, we've got nuclear waste buried down in southern Indiana. And who knows where else? I mean, Hanford up there in Washington is just a total Frankenstein monster up there. We've got it all over the East Coast. We got it everywhere. They've been burying this stuff. And then we got all these biological agents and poison gas and all that kind of stuff sitting all over the place. When I was in Fallbrook, California, for years, they had thousands of, maybe it was hundreds at least. It looked pretty big. A storage of napalm, until the point where this napalm was starting to leak all over the place, you know? If that thing would have ever gone up, I'd have been fried.
Napalm is gelatinized gasoline.
Yeah, so they had one contractor who was going to clean it up, and he gave up on it, and they brought another one in, and supposedly they finally got it cleaned up. You see, we can't keep going like this because it's the ecology is just going to collapse. That's all there is to it. And now with this heavily mined, most of this coal is not for this country. It's going outside the country. And most of this gas is being fracked. It's ruining the land. It's going outside the country. It's not being used here.
And most welcome to the world economy. Yeah. You're just a serf for the world's corporations now.
The United States has just become a place where people who we have given them millions and billions of dollars can come back and dump those millions and billions of dollars to buy up our infrastructure and everything else and all the minerals and everything. And so, you know, and also just the growing of millions of tons of corn and wheat. What do you think that's doing to the land? It's depleting the land. And then we got the chemical companies coming in and dumping all kinds of toxic fertilizer on the land. So they're gradually ruining the land in this country. And it's all going out to the country, benefiting that 1% at the top, those billionaires that are all over the place. And they're making the money, and they don't care, because they'll go off to some little atoll in the Pacific and build their little castle and live happily ever after.
The big corporations, we watched them go all over the world. They went to South America, they depleted all the oil, left the jungles covered with oil, went to Africa. Well, now they're running out of places to go. They're getting greedy, so they're coming to America.
See, capitalism is economic piracy is what it is. It's always been piracy. If they call it just mercantilism and trade, but simple mercantilism and trade uses some logic and common sense and respects conservation like that. No, this is predatory piracy of the world's resources.
So how do we counter that? We say Aryan dictatorship, right?
We have to change the system totally. We've got to get rid of capitalism. Capitalism has to go, period. That's it. We have to have a whole new system.
What do we put in place? We say Aryan dictatorship?
Well, whatever works, but I would imagine some type of Aryan socialism type thing or populism and like that. Like in the South, if they'd have got rid of those damn plantations and sent the blacks back to Africa, they could split up all those large plantations into small farms to where families could make a living. Also, they could have brought more light industry into the South and all that, and they could have avoided the Civil War. But the North was greedy, the planters were greedy, and so you had a war. You see, it's all economics. That's what I say. It starts as economics and it ends up in a racial struggle and a class struggle, because it's a little bit complicated. Now, in some ways, the black working class, I mean the working class, not the shirking class, have about the same problems as we do as the white working class. A lot of their issues are very similar to our issues. That doesn't mean we're going to combine with them and socialize with them. But it does mean that we have the same enemies economically at the top of predatory capitalism. We have the same enemies. We have our differences between us. But you see, that's something a lot of white people won't, even white racists, will not accept.
The whites that are on the bottom now, they'll be on the bottom under Aryan socialism, but they'll have means to better themselves should they choose. I agree, there's always going to be an underclass. But even then, you know, back when there was a white country, even the town fool, people gave him stuff to do, like, oh, clean this bucket out, or, you know, do this, I'll give you a quarter. You could feed yourself for today. So we took care of our own. We knew that these people were slow. They didn't have much skills. But now, you know, you've described it many times, what happens when the state gives out a stipend or benefit is that the mud people swarm in, and the old, frail, or sometimes young, mentally deficient whites can't get in there to get it at the trough. Yeah, they're lost in the administration.
But remember this, most of that money never gets to those people. You know, we're giving money away all the time, supposedly to poor people in the third world. No, almost none of it gets to them. You see, there was a book written back in the 60s when Johnson had the War on Poverty. And the book, the title of the book was Poverty's Where the Money Is. Because all the millions and billions of dollars were supposed to go to uplifting the poor didn't get to them. hardly any of it got to them. Even with a high welfare rate in the black community, most of it didn't get to where they were supposed to go. It's drained off by bureaucrats and crooks in the government. And then they brag about how we've uplifted the people, and then poor guys sitting on the curb saying, "What the fuck? I didn't get uplifted at all," you know?
It was a phrase for that, lost in the shuffle. Yeah, welfare reform cost more than welfare itself? They paid more to reform the system, which is even more broke now, and you see where welfare went, it's double, triple.
Well, in that book, it explained that they blew enough money that they could have sent every black kid in the United States to Harvard for 4 years and had money left over. I mean, you know, that's the way it works. Whenever they tell you they're going to help the poor, they don't end up helping the poor at all. I mean, and that's why the poor hate more and more the rich, or they should. I mean, you know. So I'm not talking about people who won't work and are just bums. I mean, they won't do anything. I'm talking about people who are trying, you know, maybe working two or three jobs. And what we got to understand, this labor problem now is not just white people. It's other people too. I mean, hardworking blacks and so forth. And I think we should, when we talk about it, we should be honest about it. We want racial separation, but we also want racial separation from the filthy rich. And we want to separate them from the money they've stolen off all of us.
Well, remember, not all the rich are like that, the Aryan-friendly rich. But like you say, how many thousands of dollars have we gotten from those guys that guy Virgin Airlines, right?
Well, when I'm talking about the rich, I'm primarily talking about the one percenters, the billionaires, the big billionaires. There's a lot of rich people that are not much help to us, but at least a lot of them have made their money relatively honestly. I don't think any man can become rich by being totally honest myself. That's my belief. But I'm not, you see, the Republicans try to say, when they say they want to tax, the Democrats say we want to tax the one percenters and the five percenters. The Republicans turn around and say, "Well, you're trying to destroy the middle class." Well, the Republicans have done more to destroy the middle class than anybody else by creating the conditions and assisting shipping the jobs and factories all out of the country. That was Republicans mainly doing that. The Democrats just were weak and went along with it, you know?
The comfort level of the citizenry here was too high at the end of the 60s and 70s. Whites lived very well. In my hometown, we had a white section. It was whites only. We lived the American dream. We lived pretty well. And that all changed when the companies figured, hey, we got to do everything globally. Now, one could argue, see, this is why a certain number of our associates hate the unions, because they seen the union guys back in 1980. A janitor at the GM plant was getting $25 an hour. Meanwhile, the constituents are breaking concrete or sawing wood and making 15.
Well, no, wait a minute. I can understand that. I can understand that. But at the same time, they're fighting among themselves over whether the janitor is going to get 25 or the guy with the breaking up the blocks is getting 10. The top of the heap are getting hundreds of thousands of dollars an hour. The point is, let's first attack the top as a class situation, and then, yeah, we got to straighten things out at the bottom. I mean,
let's discuss the mode for destroying the class designation.
Wait a minute. Why did the unions, a lot of them, get corrupt? Well, because the members allowed them to get corrupt. I mean, the members could have risen up and taking care of the leader if he was corrupt, you know. But the workers tended to go along with the corruption instead of fighting it. I mean, there's some that gave their lives fighting it, but still. But the point is, before we clean up the dirty workers, let's clean up the dirty billionaires.
Well, I'm sure you're familiar with the term too big to fail in industry. How about this term, too big to manage. Just like if you're one person on a ship, on a boat. My boat's 18 feet long. I run that fine by myself. You can imagine if you had a boat that was 180 feet long. See, this is what's wrong with a union when it gets so big that any one member, any 10 members, can't see the whole picture. And oftentimes, this is an animal that's so large that it is ripe for attack. And outside forces in the industrial government complex attack it so they could go ahead and steer it. Here in New Jersey, our last governor, Jan Corzine, his girlfriend was the head of the largest state employees union. So they rolled over. See, they were able to make a deal where they cut the workers' benefits and nobody said a word. And it was all legal. It was all unionized. So I think I understand the benefits of unions, but I also hear the frustration from the people about it also.
Well, whether you call it unions or but collective bargaining, labor has to have power of some type. And without any power, we're going back into the 1800s type labor, where you're working 14, 15, 16 hours a day, six days a week, maybe 7 days a week, in child labor, because there's nothing going to be around to stop it. What power is going to stop it if as we move back into that kind of situation? Now, well, one of the problems here is, with the union, the corporations began to get bigger and bigger and bigger and international and everything else. The corporations have become so powerful that the union was trying to keep up. The unions were spread too thin, trying to keep up with collective bargaining. Now, the best thing I can say to anybody is get this Sylvester Stallone movie called Fist. And explains the whole thing in there, how he went from starting the union and then the corruption. But he was fighting a force that was so big, it was the government and the owners had all the power, and any time they tried to unionize, they just smashed them. I mean, with goons, I mean, and cops and military and everything else. So, finally, you know, the mob comes to Sylvester and says, look, you need push. And what do you mean? Well, we can give you push. You need push. And the guy opens his coat and he's got a gun on his belt. So the next time the union tangled with the cops and the company goons, they had a couple of hundred of these mob guys there with guns, and they whipped the shit out of the company people. So you see, and then they say, oh, it's horrible. The union became corrupt. But there's a point where the power is so large against it, you can't do it in any other way, and then a lot of times it turns into corruption. And what are you going to do about it? Tell me. You've got an option. You're going to live like a damn serf, or are you going to allow a little corruption?
Sure. Yeah, it's enough to live with for to still reap benefit from the union. Yeah, I agree. But what I'm seeing on the boots on the ground here is it's becoming more of like an individual mandate and an individual negotiations you have with your employer, because a lot of shops are not union and there's a lot of construction jobs that are not union. You see, the union guys are picketing outside the places where they're putting up strip malls and stuff. And
business though is always under the thumb of the big corporations and the government too. So the poor guy that runs a small business, and some of them do like to do right, he gets himself in a corner over finances and stuff and government regulations to the point where he can't do it anymore and he can't pay the price. And so then you got a problem.
Well, one more point about the unions before I like to move on to another topic. It seems that the only people who pay unions, that is, that funds their pay for work done, are the towns, like the city taxpayers, the county taxpayers, because a lot of private build jobs, like strip malls or say roofing jobs or add-ons to homes, are done by companies who aren't union. So in other words, the only one the union gets their money from are those assets that are taxable, which a lot of people say, well, I think we could have built this courthouse for less than $32 million, you know? And, you know, you have to give that some thought.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think as close to an ideal situation as I can see right now is what Volkswagen has. Now, that their program was great. I mean, they have their own labor movement councils and groups, much like National Socialism was in Germany, to where the workers and management iron out their problems in-house. And here in the South, it came out that really Volkswagen came out supporting labor, and it was all these other white guys or workers that voted against the union. And so the Volkswagen turned around and says, well, if we can't have this, if the workers can't have collective bargaining, we're not going to build any more plants down south. Now, that's the way management and labor should get along together. I mean, it's not perfect, but it's much better than anything going on today. And it certainly shot the shit out of the Republicans, who were saying, oh, if we let the union in here, they're not going to build any more plants in the South. Well, now Volkswagen says, because there's no collective bargaining, we're not going to build any plants in the South.
Watch how quick that changes. There'll be another vote next month. Watch how quick.
Well, all those stupid people that voted against the union, I don't know whether they're smart enough to get the message yet. I mean, you know, these Republican propagandists down there, I'm telling you something else, that congressman who was saying that if you don't vote against the union, they're not going to expand their plant or anything else, that guy should be hung by the neck until dead.
Well, the other component of that is minimum wage, federally mandated minimum wage. Well, if you have a minimum wage mandate, you have to have a maximum wage mandate. And this will push us toward a living wage. How to achieve a living wage? What mechanism will bring us there? Well, we have to eliminate government mandate. You can't have a mandate for minimum wage and not a maximum wage. That's too open-ended.
Well, then you're going to have to go to war with the 1% at the top. I mean, the ruling class controls politics. And they control the money. Most of the money in the country is controlled by that 1%. And in the world. Now, it means social revolution. And it's coming. It's coming, and it's coming worldwide. You see it all over the place. Most of the problems where all this violence breaks out, there's money at the core. Even in the Ukraine, you know, between the European government and the Russians, they're struggling there. Every place, Africa, all over Africa, Asia. But you'll find at the basis of all of it is struggling over profits and money.
Boy, I'll tell you, if you want to learn about urban street battles, just watch the footage on Kiev, Ukraine. That is incredible.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, those guys had shields that they constructed out of, look like an automotive type steel. They really need some of those homemade implements they're making.
Anyhow, the point is, world revolution is beginning all over the world, and it's going to be here too. If you think they're going to escape it here, why do you think they got the new army command here in this country, the North Army Command? They were getting ready because they know it's going to happen here. The radical left know it's going to happen here. I listen to all these guys. They're all talking revolution. The blacks are talking revolution. The radical left talking revolution. The radical right talking revolution. And so, you know, this is like a year before, say, the outbreak of World War I or something. Everybody knew something was cooking.
Sure.
And just like the Watts riots, it simmered along for a long time, and it just happened on a hot night. A woman got a ticket, and the crowd was there, and all of a sudden you had the Watts riots burn down the town. It's not going to take much to fire it off here. A lot of people don't think so, but believe me, there's steam building. There's steam building all over the country, and it's gonna explode sooner or later. I can't give you a date.
It's a slow deterioration. Skirmishes will break out regionally. Here and there, that's the way I picture it happening. It won't be countrywide at the same time. It'll be the Watts riot scenario. It'll start on the West Coast. then on the East Coast, then in Detroit.
Well, we had that, you know, when Martin Luther King was shot. We had it going in about 8 cities. And
my city was burning. I was a wee lad.
Well, the military admitted afterwards, if 101st Airborne people were involved, the commander said if we'd have had this rioting break out in one or two more cities, it would have been out of control. So even just the blacks rioting had this country almost to its knees.
Well, due to math, in this town I live in, there's 88,000 people. There's 200 police and 450 sheriff's officers. So outside of a military thing, if the niggers want to burn the town down, they could. Nobody could stop them.
That's right. That's right. Right now, that kind of stuff could happen. It's just there hasn't been a flashpoint yet, trigger point. But the gasoline is all over the ground right now. And all it takes is somebody to drive by and flip a match.
It can go any time. It may be media generated. You know how the Jew media picks up on racially sensitive stories to inflame the blacks, but never tell when a white person has angst or anything like that.
Against them too. Anything like that creates more fear. You know, people get fearful and they get more fearful and they get more fearful. And what do? Finally, they say, "I got nothing to lose," and start blasting. You know.
Well, that's it. They got nothing to live for. Oh, we figured out why there's so many heroin overdoses now. Pill manufacturers, the mind-altering pills that the doctor gives you, the manufacturers have put a compound into the pill that makes it impossible to be crushed and injected, like most junkies would use. So now, instead of going to their doctor for their pill, their mind-altering thing, there's going to the streets for heroin. And I like to think that's by design, because with the American Army over there protecting the poppy fields.
Let me tell you why. Heroin's never been cheaper in the history of heroin than it is right now on the street. It's the cheapest it's ever been, because we're bringing it in from Afghanistan, and they bring it into Europe, into Russia, all over the world, with U.S. Army support. And many times U.S. Army helping to cultivate the stuff. So that's why there's heroin is so cheap and all over the place.
It's $3 a bag here, they tell me.
Yeah.
Every nigger the police track down and knock out, they have a sawed-off shotgun on them and 100 decks of heroin. Everyone they get, they capture.
Well, number one, anybody who thinks anybody won the drug war is stupid, and that we should immediately get rid of the whole damn drug war and legalize everything. And if people want to kill themselves, well, that's nothing I can do about it. I just don't want to pay for it.
That's happening now. Yeah. They're legalizing it in different states, and you don't hear the sky isn't falling. I mean, they're still there.
It's too slow. They're going to argue about pot for 10 years, and finally all the states will come along. But I'm talking cocaine and stuff. I mean, you used to be able, at the turn of the century, of the last century, to walk into a drugstore and buy this stuff over the counter, you know.
Well, the bad thing is, by legalizing it, now they've made more revenue for the state. So that in itself is a bad thing, because the state is making more money feeding the machine.
The state's making more money than the dealer on the street with marijuana in Colorado. Somebody said it was $500 an ounce.
Oh, yeah, they double charge them. Sure, when you're a thug, that's what you do.
Well, when you give control from one set of crooks that are sort of amateurs to the real professional crooks in government, you're going to get really screwed, you know. But that should be taken care of in the Congress and so forth, to put a ceiling price on marijuana and like that, you know. That's your politicians again. They're in there making sure that their buddies get rich, and it doesn't have to happen. That's why I say they're all crooks. All congressmen, all senators, all of them, they're all crooks. All criminals, all deserve to be hung.
Well, the pharmaceuticals tell you that, too. They've kept those patents way past what they're supposed to.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Hey, what do you think about Hitler went to Argentina on a sub with Eva Braun?
No, No, I'm not getting into that. I've been...
Okay. That's for another show. I just seen it. That's another guy, you know, wrote a book. But that story's been out for 50 years. You remember that.
Sure. No.
All right.
Hitler's...
Hey. Thanks for having me on, T.T. Hey, good talking to you.
Good talking to you again. We'll talk to
okay.
you later.
Take care. See you next time. Whatever we say at the end is... Shut up. We'll later. Thanks.
Righto. Let's see here. I should have had my music up here ready to go, and I don't. What the hell's going on here? Let's see here.
I sent you an MP3 file. It's pretty,
Oh, yeah,
pretty radical song.
Can you play it on there now? I should have had my, my music up here, and, where in the hell is... Oh, I know why I don't have it up here. I don't have my internet thing up here. Let's see here. I should have done this. Probably we ought to just call it quits.
All right. I'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Okay. Take care.
Bye bye.
And that's it. That's it. From P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. Sorry for the stall there. I'll be back with you tomorrow, Wotan's Day, and I may be doing a show with some people outside the country. In fact, I may be doing some talking to a Russian. I'm not sure. We'll see. 14-5.